Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith.
Man, today we got some special visitors all the way from Phoenix. Actually, they're in Kenya, they're in Phoenix, they go back and forth. This is Pastors Coney and Lonnie Orozco. And these are, when I went to Kenya just a couple of months ago, it was through their ministry, and I got over there, and it was for the very first, I saw the real deal. You've heard some of my stories, and the revival that's going on in Kenya, and the discipleship, the explosion of growth, working with the orphans, working with the widows, and just affecting a community is very powerful. And I'm glad that they're here to minister to us immediately after the service, right after this. Like I said, after he's done preaching, altar call and all that, then move up a little closer to the front. There's a video. We're going to show the video first, correct? But afterwards, we have questions and answers and input. I want you everybody to look at me. One of the things, I am after your money. After the service, at the end, I'm going to be after your money. Why? Because I know a good place to send it. You know, you ever see those commercials with people? You see the little orphan, you see the little boy, and he's starving, he's hungry, you know what I mean? Or there's something, they say send in $10 a month, $30 a month, and you can help this child. Well, you can wonder if the money ever makes it there. How does this thing work? You know, and you know, I think it's like 10, I don't know if it's $10 out of, wait a minute, it's the percentage of how much that money actually makes it to those people. It's not really good, because a lot of it's caught up in commercials and administration. I was there. I was at the orphanage. I was at their ministry. I seen it. I seen them work. I saw the fruit. I see the pastors. I seen it all. And if we, and I would like to, I'm going to challenge you at the end as far as supporting this work, you know, and making an investment. One of the things that we did was, there's pastors over there. A lot of the pastors, don't eat good. They can't, I can't even think without eating. These guys are literally, when I say, and I know I'm going to eat right after service, they have it's a hard way for them to go, but they believe God to meet the needs, to trust Him. And I made a pledge with your money, I did, which is Keeping It Real Church, about supporting 10 of these pastors. And all these pastors need, believe it, when I heard it, I can't even eat at a restaurant anymore normally. If I take four of you guys over here to Asahi and we tear it up on some sushi, that bill runs $100 or more. You know what I mean? It's up there. And so these pastors, for $30 a month, that would pay for their food for the month. $30. Is that correct? Am I right? I said 30, I said 30, when I heard this, how much would it take for them to survive? And I met these pastors. I'm preaching with these pastors. They're interpreting and translating for me, and they're full of the Holy Ghost. They're excited. They're pumped up about, they don't even care about the sacrifice that they're making. But when I heard this, I said, I couldn't go any further. And it's always been on my mind. So I just letting you know, I said, and I'm going to challenge you at the end to support, to begin to give. I want God to bless us. I want our church blessed. I really do. We need money in our hands and in our church for the purpose of enlarging the kingdom of God. And I know that as we give, God will give back to us. Are you with me? I'd say if we care about what God cares about, God will care about our things. And I'm making it a point to care about what He cares about the most, and that's saving souls. And there's pastors in the field in another country. You don't know them, but I met them. And some of them I know by name. I remember their name. And I asked Pastor Coney, I said, these particular guys, I really want them supported. And it was one in particular. I said, I want them because I met them, I know them, and I want to help them. $30 will keep their wives from beating up on the husbands about not bringing home any food. When I say beating up, imagine being mad at your husband because he didn't bring any rice home. And the reason he couldn't bring any rice, because it's hard to work and pastor over there too at the same time. It's hard. And so we rode deeply. I don't know if you've seen this. This thing has increased. It has. I never have any problem gaining weight. Never. I eat good all the time. But there's some guys over there that don't. And so I want to lay that on. I think that's our responsibility. We can't save everybody. We can't help everybody, but we can help somebody. Can you say amen? And so there's some things, and this is why they're here. They're going to preach and minister. We're not after all. I mean, that's not the whole thing. I'm hoping that you're enlarged, that you're challenged. My heart beats for what they're doing. And I as like I said, I just want to do something for God as much as possible, make impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thanking God that because of them, I was able to do that and find some expression in another country. Okay? So, enough of me talking about you. Let's give Pastor Coney a big hand as he comes. Hallelujah. And I'll let you introduce the film. You do your thing. He's used to preaching 2 hours at a time.
Yes.
I told him we only do 10 minutes, you know what I mean? But just give him your attention. Let him do what he needs to do. And open your heart and let God help you.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. It's a privilege to be with you. I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do. He's going to touch you today. When we were worshiping, I felt the glory of God come to touch us. How many came to church to be touched by God? Hallelujah. I am a missionary to Africa, Kenya, and we live in a town called Katali, Kenya. We've been there 6 years, going on 7. Maybe it's 8. I don't remember. It's been a long time. And I've been blessed to watch God just grow the ministry. We have 17 orphan boys, 17 street boys. In Africa, there's, I think, 3 million orphans alone just in the different countries. So you can imagine the magnitude of how many people, how many young children and young boys that are lost. So it's a big task. And the amazing thing about it is you can't save them all, obviously, but you can do something. You can do something. Amen? Now, I'm not here to do any other thing except glorify God. I'm here to show you and bless you and give you a little bit of the word so you can be blessed. And we're going to do that. You got the movie in? We'll just show you a little bit of what we're doing, and I hope it blesses you. One of the things that really transpired is I went to Africa to do compassion ministry, and I'm a pastor, and the Lord tricks you. He has the ability to get you where in a position or a place, and then he really begins to reveal his will. And if you have any spiritual sensitivity, you're going to be open to his will. So that video only tells just a small portion. We have a large church now. We have 13 other churches that came out of that church, and where I took your pastor, there is over 60 churches that we're ministering to. Now, where I took him was in the bush, about 60 miles from the closest town, and we were out in the middle of nowhere. Now, when you drive down the street or drive down the dirt road, you just see small villages. So when we drove up to minister to in the conference, you would think there nobody would be there. But there was about 350 people that were there. And I think one night we had over 700 people, Pokot people. You want to look up, you guys, I know you searched the web. Look up Pokot people, P-O-K-O-T-E. Look it up, and you can see that we're ministering to a group of people that literally have had not had the gospel preached to them. Now, I want to challenge you tonight. You know, I'm a pastor. You know, I have a church in Phoenix, and I have a church in Africa. But I want to challenge you personally. You can ask me questions about missions for orphans, you know, after the service. There's a scripture, and you know the scripture. It's been read to you many times. And it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. How many have ever been out of America, been in another country? Put your hand up. Okay, there's a few. How many have been to Africa? Anybody else been to Africa besides? Nobody been to Africa. How about Mexico? Okay, you've been to Mexico. Okay, so you see the poverty there. Okay, this scripture tells me something about what happens to believers. What happens to believers is when God touches us, he gives us power. How many would agree with me? Power. Now, it's not the kind of power the world is talking about. It's talking about the God power. Literally, a life that gets saved and converted, you need the ability to overcome. You need to have your life changed by the power of God. And that's the only thing that can do it. Now, when God changes your life, God has a divine destiny, an appointment. You have an appointment with God with a divine destiny. So when I got converted, as God saved me, I didn't understand what Christianity was. You know, I went to the Catholic Church, and all I did was a ritual. But then I began to read the Bible, and everything changed because I saw the life of God coming out of the Word of God. I saw the book of Acts, and I began to see there was a life and a lifestyle that comes from God to a believer. How many believers today? You a believer? Okay, then you need to live the book of Acts. And I'm not talking about what the world standard is. I'm talking about what the Bible standard is. So you have met with God. You're a believer. You have a divine appointment that you met the day that you got saved. Now you have an inheritance. Every one of you can do something for God. Every one of you. Doesn't matter whether you go to Africa or you go down to the mall. Mothers, you can do something for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Dads, you can do something for God. Maybe some of you are preachers. There's preachers. I understand that. But the commonality or the order of God that he takes a life and he puts power in your life. I'm going to tell you a story. I'll tell you how I got to Africa. We went on a mission trip and I was pouring concrete I was pouring concrete for one of my brothers who has an orphanage. And he needed a concrete slab poured for his dormitory. So I went over and I didn't preach. I just went over and I started doing the concrete slab for him. But my daughter was there and a team was with me. And they were ministering in a school. And every day they would go to the school and my daughter, she got a degree in sociology and she began to work with young women, began to deal with young women that would have problems at home, runaways, juveniles, and she would begin to minister to them. So she would teach, this is embarrassing, sex education. So every time she would teach sex education, I would run. She was going to teach it in the school. Okay? Well, you guys embarrassed or what? Okay. I see all these kids running around, so somebody had sex. Okay, now you're laughing with me. All right. So she's going to teach, but she's going. She's walking. And this guy had a little Toyota truck with some chickens in it, and he offered them a ride. So she's going in the back, and I call it the chicken truck. And they're going down the road, and over there they don't fill their tanks up. They put a little bit of gas in it, so the truck runs out of gas. Stops along the road. This mother comes up with her daughter. And the mother said to my daughter, said, I want you to look at my child. She has a problem. And what it was is that her bladder was hanging out of her stomach, and I think she was 8 years old. She was born that way, with a bladder hanging out of her stomach. And my daughter, when she goes to Africa, she is like this intense person. I mean, she is moved with compassion. So she decides to help this young girl. The young girl now is, I think she's 15 years old, beautiful young girl. We helped her and she was blessed. And then there was another young boy who had a hernia. They came up to my daughter and they asked for help. And I began to understand something. God was beginning to move me. And I began to think and I began to say to my wife, I said, we can do something. We can help. We can do something. When God touches your heart, here's two people that a chicken truck had to run out of gas to get my daughter to be touched and moved, and I was touched and moved, and I ended up moving to Africa to have compassion ministry. Now that's God. Because I shouldn't be in Africa. I'm retired. I should be fishing. I should be on vacation. But I'm in Africa. We live in Africa. See, God gives you power so that you can do something for Him. He wants to stir you. You can do something for God. Right here, where you live. If you want to go to Africa, we can make a way for you to get there. Or any place. It doesn't matter what it is. There's a story in the book of Matthew. Jesus is ministering. Matthew 15. And Jesus departed from there. He went to the Sea of Galilee and went up to the mountain to eat. With a great multitude, it came to him having with those who were lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they led them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified God of Israel. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because now they continue with me 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Jesus was moved with compassion. This is what you and I need. We need to be moved when we see something that is the heart of Jesus. One day I was in Katali, and I went to the granary. I went to buy maize and some food for the widows. And I was there, and I bought the grain, and I got it in my truck. And I looked over to my left, and there was this woman bent over with a little bag in her hand. And she was, because it was a granary, they drop little maize corn on the ground. And she was picking up that little maize corn one at a time and putting it in the bag, little bag. And I looked over there, and I was moved with compassion. Now, I just bought food for the widows, so I felt pretty good about myself. But God said, look to your left. I want to move you. How many times has God spoken to you when you go to the store? How many times has God put a loved one on your heart? How many times in your life, as you were busy with your life, that God spoke to you and tried to move you with compassion? It's quiet. So I walked over to that young lady, And I looked at her, and you know, I can't communicate with her, but I understood that she was gathering her food for the day. Those little grain of corn and putting it a little back. Poverty there is unbelievable. It literally crushes you because you're an American. You and I spend, like the brother says, on one good name pizza, you'll spend $25. And he just brought up that for $30, you can feed a pastor and his family for 1 month. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, I'm not telling you stories to make you feel bad. That's not why I'm telling you stories. I'm telling you stories because compassion is real. And it's the heart of God, and God gives us as a people, as Christians, an opportunity to be moved. Now, when he was telling that story, how many in your heart go, wow, I'm going to give? How many of you did that? How many said, no, it's Christmas time, I got to spend my money on pizza? Now, the reason they don't have any money is because there's no jobs. So when they go pastor in a village which has no commercialization, no jobs, they have to believe that those people that come and get saved are going to support them. And most of the time it's a struggle. That's why they need money. So the story is being told not to make you feel bad. Say, not to make me feel bad. Oh, that was really bad. I want you to feel really good after I get down with the next one. The story's told not to make you, but to move you with compassion. See, the reason I'm in Africa, I'm moved with compassion. The reason I witness to a soul, because I'm moved with compassion. The reason I'm excited about Christianity is because God saved me. Hallelujah. He saved me and put his love in my heart. Now, there's a very powerful thing that's happened in Africa. Literally, if not thousands, hundreds of people are being saved. Hundreds. Right now. We show the movie Jesus in a village. 2,000 people will come and half of them will get saved. Half of them will be converted to Christianity. These people live for witchcraft. They don't have any other religion. So when you bring the gospel to them, they understand that God is real and alive and that God can save you right in the middle of the bush, and they're getting saved by the hundreds. Have you lost your compassion? Are you ignoring the voice of God when he speaks to you as you live your daily life? Now, you're going to go through Christmas time pretty fast. You know what I'm saying? You're going to do 100 miles an hour trying to get all your gifts, trying to get everything. You know, I have a bunch of grandkids. I have 14 of them, okay? But I don't look that old, do I? Amen. So I watch my grandkids on Christmas. Rip, rip, rip. Next. Rip, rip, rip. Next. That's their life. They're blessed. They really are blessed. And you'll do that every year, and you'll sacrifice every year because you love your children, and we're blessed as Americans, and we can do good, we can help. See, I want your compassion to come back. I believe the church has lost its compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. We have this one lady who is a widow. Someone told us that her little hut was destroyed, and we build widows' houses. We build about 20, we're up to 25 widows' houses we built. And they told us about this lady. And she lives off this mountain. She lived on the side of the mountain, and she was there. We went there, and we got there, and half her hut was completely falling apart. Just big holes in it. And we decided to build her a house, but it was going to be kind of a construction nightmare because we had to go off the mountain to build it. So when we get there, we told her, we're going to build you a house. You know what she said to us? She goes, no, I don't want you to build me one. She said, I want you to give me some food so I can die. That's what she said. I want you to give me some food so I can die. I was crushed. I said, no, we're going to do two things for you. We're going to give you a house, and we're going to feed you every day. The reality of the need is insurmountable. It really is. It's way beyond my comprehension. Don't feel bad. That's not my point. These are stories of real people. They have real needs. And this is the whole point of what I'm saying. We can do something about it. We can do something. You can do something. I can do something. See, Christianity is just more you walking in the door, sitting down. Wasn't worship awesome today? Man, I was moved. I felt the glory of God, and God's going to touch us, and the glory is going to come. He's going to minister to you and touch your life, and the glory is on us. But then God wants you to be moved with compassion. When you get up and walk out the door, maybe your neighbor needs you. Maybe they're getting a divorce, and you hear them fight all the time. Maybe you can, ladies, you can one day get some cookies and walk to your neighbor's house when the husband's gone, and go share Jesus with her. Because there's children involved, and there's a broken heart involved. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Can you be moved with compassion? Amen. Amen. You can be. Don't ever lose it. Don't ever lose it. We live better than King Solomon lives. Do you know that? We eat better than King Solomon eats. By the looks of it, you eat pretty well. And so do I. We're blessed. Say, I'm blessed. America's blessed. When you came to become a Christian, there was an inheritance and a task that God wanted you to get your life involved with. World evangelism is one of them. Feeding the poor is one of them. Helping your neighbor is one of them. Being a witness for Jesus Christ is one of them. It's just not coming in and walking into church and then going out the door and then go and watch a movie. Sometimes in your life it requires sacrifice. My whole life, you know, the American dream is get to the point where you can retire and you can get one of those big old trucks, Winnebagos, with a car behind it, and travel the world. Now, I know that's not everybody's dream. My dream is just a fish. Okay? And I haven't done it yet. You know why? Because I'm fishing for men. Have you read your Bible lately when it says lay treasures in heaven? Where moth and rust do not corrupt. That your life has purpose and has a destiny. Will you begin to get in the will of God? And as you get into the will of God, you begin to do the purposes of God. You know, I never wanted to be a preacher. That wasn't even my plan. The reality is that God had a plan, and when he revealed that plan, when I saw people, I was moved with a compassion, and you need to keep your compassion. I got one more, and then I'm going to quit. I want to talk to you about pure religion. Pure means literally clean. It means to have a relationship with a God that you serve, where there's just pure thought. And James, how many read the book of James? Pretty tough book, isn't it? Until you read verse 27, he says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit the orphans and the widows to their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Pure and undefiled religion is visiting the orphans and the widows. I want you to do something. How many here are Bible students? You study the Word. Go in there, take a topic, find out. There's only one. You got a lot of work to do, Pastor Reggie. You got one Bible student in here. Anybody else? Come on. Okay, this is a tough question. How many of you read your Bible? Got two. Come on. I want you to look up the poor in the Word of God. Now, we think somebody's poor if they're homeless. And it's true. They don't have a house, they don't have a car, they live in the park, they live in the street. They're homeless. But you never seen poverty like you see it in Africa. I'm going to tell you two stories. We went to this lady's house. Of course, they want the pastor to come. We went to this lady's house, walked in the house. She was laying on the bed. She was looked really grievously sick. Everybody says she's sick and she's dying. And the Lord uses me in a gift of the word of knowledge. You know what the Lord spoke to me? She wasn't sick. She was dying from hunger. And man, I was taken back. Everybody was around praying for this woman. She was there. And I said, no, she just needs food. And she was a widow. Now, I understood something. I walked out the door and I was walking away and I was just weeping. I was just weeping. This is what the Lord said to me. He said, I brought you 8,000 miles to save her life. I was going to use you. We got her some food, began to take care of her, and then she lived for, I don't know how long she lived, she's probably still alive, but she's still eating and blessed. The reality of poverty is a thing that just literally just slaps your face. And you realize how blessed you really are. And I want to slap your face. And everybody say amen. It slapped mine. How blessed I am. Are you feeling it now? How blessed you are? and how God had blessed you to be a blessing. Amen. He blessed you to be a blessing. You can be a blessing. I don't know if it's missions for orphans. You know, I'm not here to get your money. Your pastor is. That's what he told you. But he was moved with compassion. When Pastor Seawood talked about the 10 pastors that don't eat, now listen, the story, they don't eat because there's no jobs and their wives are crying because the children are hungry. And they're going, where's the God that I serve? And I'm looking at them. Woo! You miss a good place to meet, say amen. Did you hear me? You can do something. You see how God moves? When I went to the house to pray for her, when I went 8,000 miles, when I walked in the hut, when I laid my hands on her, the God that I serve spoke to me, gave me a word for this woman. He used me, he used me, he used me. And I walked away totally fulfilled as a human being. That's what it's all about. You being moved with compassion, you using the power of God and the blessing of God and how God has touched your life, and you can be a blessing to other people. You can. Don't you get religious on me. Don't you get religious on Pastor Reggie and his wife. Don't you think it's about just you. Because it ain't about you, it's about Jesus in you. I told you these stories not to make you feel bad. When my wife and I decided to go, it was because of those two young children, and I was moved. And I said, we can do something. Now we have 13 churches plus 50, 60 churches. Plus, we go to the refugee camp, which has 350,000 people. We just built a church for the Congolese. There's another church we're going to build for the Congolese, another pastor. We're ministering to 140 pastors in the refugee camp. All these are God opportunities. All these are opportunities that God has made because my wife and I decided to do something for God. Well, I'm not going to let you off the hook. That's what you were saved for. He might take you 8,000 miles to save somebody. Wouldn't God do that? Sure he would. You know those things that you see on TV, the orphans and starving kids. There's a lot of legitimate ones, but there's a lot of them that never see the money. And I can tell you a whole story on that, but that's not my point. My point is that God has saved you for a purpose. And he has a plan. Are you open? I want you to make me feel better, okay? It's pretty tough to be a pastor and to preach because the most important part is that you're not a hypocrite. I'm not a hypocrite. What I preach, I live. Now, I want you to make me feel good. I want you to say amen to what I'm about to say to you. Okay? Do you believe that God can use you? That was pretty weak. Amen. Now I want you to say it with confidence. Do you believe that God can use you.
Amen.
There we go. You're halfway there. I want you to say amen to this one. Are you blessed?
Amen.
Are you blessed so much, pressed down, shaken together, and a little bit of running over? That you can respond to God this Christmas. It's a good time at Christmas time to help somebody. Bring somebody to church, get somebody saved. Save a marriage. I'm into saving marriages. How many are into saving marriages? Because there's little kids involved. There's always some brokenness. I'm into saving marriage. I'm into saving drug addicts. Hallelujah. I'm in. To anybody getting saved. Would you stand with me? God bless you. Your pastor and his wife and the leadership, Reggie. You have a group of people that just really love you. They take it very serious about being a pastor to you. They're willing to do anything to help you. You're a benefit. You live in the benefit of the kingdom of God, that God's life is in them. And it's being given to you, to your wife, to your children, to you as a man, to you as a woman, to you as a person, the life of God. The caring of your soul and how much they love you. And how much they'll be willing to do to see you live life with great joy. That's the people that are serving you. The God that you serve has called you with a holy calling. Every one of you have the Spirit of God, the power of God in your heart. You can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You can lay hands on someone that needs deliverance and they will be delivered. That's the Spirit of God in this place. That's what's here, church. That's you. It's not another church. This is the kingdom of God. This is the life of God. This is where God lives. He lives in you. When you walk out those doors, you take the life of God with you. You're a benefit of the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. There's a couple things in my altar call that I want to do. I want you to respond to God, and I'm going to pray for you. I want you to respond to God, and I'll pray for you. You lost your compassion. You're just not what you used to be when you were first saved. The fire's not there anymore. And I want to pray for you that the fire will come back and restore you. Now, that's a big step, I know. Maybe there's not many. That's fine. If there's one, that's one that needs to be touched. Your fire's gone. I want you to put your hand and say, "Preacher, I need prayer." Anybody? One, two, three, four. Would you take another step and come over here? Stand right here. Your fire's gone. Just come over here, brother. I want you to stand on this side because I'm going to believe God to touch your life. Here's the second calling. Okay? You can do something for God. And you want to do something for God. you know in your heart that needs to be stirred again. You know in your heart that fire of the love of God and touching people and helping people and ministering to the poor, ministering to needs, ministering to someone that is less fortunate than you. That's in you. That's what you want to do. You know, not everybody will go to Africa. But that doesn't mean there's not a work of grace around your life. You understand? Did you hear what I just said? There's a work of grace right around your life. Your sphere in which you live your life, your family, your friends, people that you can minister to. And that takes the fire of God. That takes boldness. That takes something that you're committed to bring the gospel to them. This is a great time to preach the gospel right now. There's a lot of people that are going to have a bummed out Christmas until you get them saved. And they'll have the best Christmas of their life. You want to do something for God, I want you to come over here. Would you come?
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram at kirchurch.